Ezekiel chapter 7, and we're reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. And this, of course, is God's Word. And so Ezekiel chapter 7, starting in verse 1, give your attention to this, God's Word, for your benefit and for your growth in grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end, the end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways and bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you, but I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, unique disaster. Behold, it is coming. An end is coming. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. A day is near, tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you, judge you according to your ways and bring on you all your abominations. My eye will show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you according to your ways. While your abominations are in your midst, then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting. Behold the day. Behold, it is coming. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has blossomed. Violence has grown into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain. None of their people. None of their wealth. Nor anything imminent among them. The time has come. The day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath is against all their multitude. Indeed, the seller will not regain what he sold as long as they both live. For the vision regarding all their multitude will not be averted, nor will any of them maintain his life by his iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle. For my wrath is against all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city. Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each over his own iniquity. And all hands will hang limp, and all knees will become like water. They will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and shame will be on all faces, and baldness on all their heads. They will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. They transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore I will make it an abhorrent thing to them. I will bring it into the hands of the foreigners as plunder, into the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it. I will also turn my face from them, and they will profane my secret place. Then robbers will enter and profane it. Make the chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the nations, and they will possess their houses. I will also make the pride of the strong ones cease and their holy places be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Disaster will come upon disaster and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with horror, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. According to their conduct, I will deal with them, and by their judgments I will judge them, and they will know that I am the Lord." And that is God's Word. We heard last Lord's Day that the promises of a remnant amidst the great judgments. Those judgments are made much more clear now in this chapter, at least especially as to the final ruin, the final judgment upon Jerusalem and Judah, complete and utter destruction on Jerusalem, and for the people it will be miserable. And specifically, you probably heard throughout the chapter that this judgment, this disaster, it will come, and it will come immediately and soon. And the purpose of it all, the very last sentence, that they would know that He is Yahweh. And this isn't just something in the future. Again, their constant abominations have made it so the time is now. The time has come shortly, that phrase repeated over and over. The Lord will pour out His wrath and anger against their idolatry and their abominations. And clearly, to the unrepentant, there will be shown no mercy, no sparing. The day has come. And that's through verse 10. But Yahweh continues, presses further and further and further. This ruin and desolation is unavoidable. Why? Because of their unrepentant sin and their iniquity. They had not turned back to the Lord, so the judgment will come. In verse 11, there will be none remaining, no people. But what will come is death by sword, and famine, and pestilence. Verse 15. In verse 19, they will attempt to buy their way out of their judgments, flinging their silver and flinging the gold, but riches do not deliver the sinner from the wrath of God. Money does not do so. Not against sin. Beloved, we are reminded here of all that we can do to not be judged forever and ever by the Lord is useless. Whatever we do, that is, the gospel tells us and is clear, we can do nothing. We have sinned, and if we remain unrepentant, we will come under the same judgments, but worse, and infinitely worse, than what we see foretold here. And rather, it is the same for the people in this day, and for Ezekiel, and even to today, the gospel is the same. We must turn to the Lord by faith, and turn from our sins unto Him, repentance, and receive His mercy. And He will do so. He will grant mercy to those who turn and believe and repent. And that's the promise He laid out in the last chapter concerning the remnant, and it's the same for us today as we consider these judgments and the warnings to us. And if we do not receive the promises by faith, we will be judged far worse than this. You can attempt to trust in creatures or creation, things of this world, but those too will be destroyed. And if you do trust in them, you will be destroyed with them. And you see that when the Lord warns of what will happen to the temple. In verses 20 to the end, Judah and Jerusalem, they trusted in the temple and not in the Lord. And so the temple will be ruined. It will be destroyed. And this ruin that will come upon Jerusalem and Judah, the people, and the temple will be a universal, or an universal ruin, because sin that had brought the judgment was universal and among all the people. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we would plead with You that such a judgment would not come to our nation, though it seems likely and sometime in the future. And that that final judgment would not touch us unto death eternal, but that we would be delivered over because of the righteousness of Christ alone, received by faith alone, and turning from our sins, we would receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. Father, here we are warned over and over and over of the great judgment to come, and foreshown in the people of Judah and Jerusalem. But the judgment that awaits us and was foreshown by them is far worse than this. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn us as we consider our own sins. Turn us from our sins. And may we not be like those who were unrepentant, but may we be like those who are repentant and believe and trust your word and your promises. That we would not bring forth to you and to others around us idolatries and abominations in your sight. But we would love you above all other things. That we would love you above all creation and creatures, even our own families. That you would have the first place. And you would be preeminent. Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit and make that so in our lives. For we cannot do it ourselves, because apart from you we can do nothing. So send your Spirit and grant us patience with one another, and grant us humility before your throne. For you are the holy Lord, and we are a fleshly people in constant need of your sanctifying and saving grace. Hear our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.